Good. Good morning, Scott Welch here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is the fourth and final day of Magic Live 2019. And I've got with me a couple of dealers. I really haven't talked with the dealers too much because they've been pretty busy, but this morning they're opening about 11 o'clock and have abbreviated hours. I'm here with the guys from Card Shark, Christian Schenk. Hey, Christian.
Hi, good morning. Hi.
And Roger Nico.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Fantastic. We're on our way over to have a small bite of breakfast, or I should say a bite of a small breakfast, just over here at the coffee shop because the next event's going to be happening at 10. So, Christian, you'd ask me how's the convention been for me. It's been great. I've had an opportunity really to chat with a bunch of folks, you know, like you, even and some quality time. Because, you know, these big conventions, it seems like that you only have a few moments because then you run into some other friend. It's like, hey, how you doing? And hello. You don't get to spend a lot of time. But because of the podcast, I get to spend at least 5 or 10 minutes of good, you know, conversation like we are right now while we're in line. So how about for you?
So far, it was awesome. Like every year at Magic Live, I would say. Certainly, we don't see anything.
But everybody comes to you.
Just the dealer room. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is really kind of cool. I mean, you don't have to go out. People come to you.
Yes, that's for sure. But however, we would love to see shows in the evening, maybe. That's what's not part of the...
You're just too tired, or that's not part of your registration?
That is not the part of our registration. Dealers
gotcha.
Are...
not allowed to attend. We pay the big bucks for the tables, but that's all we get at the tables.
Is that right? So you don't get to see the focus session, general session?
No, we don't see any of that.
This time we don't have... Oh, are they in the evenings, usually?
Well, the general sessions are in the... well, it depends upon your color of your badge. Yours is red, obviously. And
no, which indicates dealer, and we can't do anything.
Gotcha. Well,
it's the whites and the blues that get admission to everything.
Okay. Kind of like the French flag. Different colors
like
here.
That. Kind of like
so,
that.
Oh, I guess the U.S. has that color, too. Yeah, red, white,
true.
And blue. So you've not seen any of the sessions or the shows or anything? You've just been behind pretty much?
To be honest, we've been so busy behind the booth, which is a really good thing. But
we
haven't even had a chance to take a break for lunch. So
Two times in a row.
Yeah. It's just been awesome. We've been working nonstop from 11 until 6.
Did you bring enough product?
So far, we are fine. Good calculation, and let's see what happens today. Because at the last day...
It's hours.
Yes, but also most of the time the dealers buy from each other at the end of a convention.
Oh, sure.
So if there are new products, new releases, they want to have them as well at the end of the convention.
What kind of new stuff have you seen? Now, you've not had a chance really to walk around the dealers very much. Have you heard anybody else talk?
Not really.
You've been behind your own booth, and that's been it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, once we get behind that booth and the doors open, we're stuck there.
Have you seen the vibe or the feeling inside the dealer's room to be constant, or like most conventions with an ebb and flow depending upon what events are going on?
It's been an ebb and flow.
Okay.
Yeah, it really has.
I wondered about that because, you know, you've got people who are attending different events, whether it's a general session or the focus sessions back and forth. But
actually, I mean, all day long we've been busy, but we've always have, you know, our tables filled with people. But I've seen other dealers just kind of standing there.
On the other hand, it is really that somehow the Magic Life is organized in a way that the dealers stay busy during the day most of the time, so that there's half of the people who are going to other events, and there's enough time for them as well sometimes to go to the dealer room. And that keeps us busy. While I have seen a lot of other conventions where the whole planning, the whole schedule is so full that we are standing there for hours without any magicians coming in, and that's really terrible.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that's not much different than any other convention, I would imagine, is it? Or is it more pronounced here, would you say?
No. As I said, there are other conventions. I just came back from the Spanish National Convention, and it was a nightmare that in the end we had the dealer room set up in one theater while they had also a second theater that was 10-minute walk away, and the only time where the magicians could have come over because there was competition in the morning, then in the afternoon other events, and in between there was a break for lunch, etc. Yeah, but the whole the staff of the theater closed down for siesta and lunch break.
Wow.
So So that was really, really well, badly organized. So, and this can happen at so many other conventions. We never know. Even if the numbers of magicians who are registered would be promising, we never know if the schedule is working for us as well and for the magicians, because they want to go to the dealer room.
Of course. Now, because the dealers, I think, are one of the main reasons that people come to the conventions. I think there are some key reasons why people should attend conventions. Ones are dealers, obviously the shows, and then to be able to see friends, around as well. But with Magic Live, the schedule is always the same as far, and usually we can count on that maxing out at 1,600 it has forever, I think. Anyhow, so you have a pretty good idea as opposed to, let's say, like a TAOM or something in which it's going to be in different cities, and it depends upon who's going to be the organizers of that city and what their schedule is going to be, and it completely can vary from one year to the next.
That is true, and that is also the reason why Paul Richards back then came up with another idea of the Real Magic Roadshow. What is a dealer day kind of thing, where the best dealers in the world or the best creators in the world are coming to town and setting up a dealer room without a convention. What makes it really interesting as you have a full day seeing everything without a rush. You can then, after seeing the performances, sit down with your friends and even discuss effects and to find out if this one fits you or not. While here you are just busy. You have half an hour to see a trick, have to make a decision very quickly if you want to get it or not. And at the dealer day, I think it's the Real Magic Roadshow really gives you the opportunity to make your mind up and discuss it with the creator of the trick if this one would fit you or not.
Is that dealer day a little bit different from the Penguin Max?
Well, as you might know, the Elmwood Magic back then was sold to Penguin Magic,
right. And
Penguin took over the Real Magic Roadshow concept and turned it into the Penguin Expo.
Okay. So that different from what you're talking about?
Over time, I have attended the Penguin Expos only once, I think, in the USA, the whole concept changed over time with them.
Yeah, theirs is more like a mini one-day convention.
It now turned into a mini convention also, I think. Is it already 2 days?
It is actually an overnight thing, yeah. They have an evening show and everything.
And we try to avoid this completely so that you really have no expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not me.
It was
Paul who came up with the idea, Paul and Mark. Mark Mason, who is also part of it. We try to keep down the registration fee to almost zero, because you would get a voucher to get in. We try to avoid all the extra events.
Now, I know that Blackpool is like, 6,000 registrants or something, and they have...
It's 3,450 last year.
Okay, to be approximately.
Yeah, right. still a big number,
But then there's 154 dealers.
I was going to ask, I thought it was like double the dealers here, or more, triple.
Right, yeah.
I think we have 30 dealers here.
Yeah,
40, I think.
But yeah, last year there was 154 dealers at Blackpool.
Someone had said that they had changed up the dealer's room a little bit this last year, which made it difficult. So maybe they were in the Spanish room or something.
The secondary dealer room, which was always adjacent to the main dealer room, there was a certain lecturer that demanded that he have a room that was large enough to fit 500 people for his lecture.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that lecturer could not attend Blackpool at the end. And so they had this room wide open and dealers spread out throughout the rest of the building.
So hopefully that was the first and last time they're going to do that.
Well, hopefully.
Well, we were lucky enough to stay in our spot in the main room, so we don't have too much. Yeah, so we don't have too much experience what happened with the other room, and also it was still a construction site, the other one. So I know that Silly Billy, he really had a hard time having wind blowing all the time, cold wind from February in Blackpool in his neck. So he had to wear full clothes just to stay healthy. That was really weird.
Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. How you doing?
Hi, Carl.
Good.
Good morning.
Life is good.
Enjoying the convention?
So far, so good.
Have you been selling a lot of stuff?
I haven't been in the dealer's room much to sell stuff, but I have been doing well.
I was going to say, because you had like a, I know there's like
well,
a lecture
thing,
right?
I'm doing something right now, so I'm just for that, I'm setting up every once in a while.
Which is going to be kind of a surprise, however, by the time this comes out, everybody will know.
Yeah,
so can you tell us right now what's going on?
It's not a surprise. It's Rubik's Cube Magic, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That you're going to be talking about in the general session?
Yeah. No, it's not general session. It's in the close-up clinic.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, good. Thank you.
Right, we'll see you soon.
Okay. See you.
Are you guys going up to the dealer's room after this?
Yes. We have a breakfast, and then we'll go up.
So, there we get an idea of what's kind of perspective from the dealers, what's going on. Well, go in the dealer's room. I want to talk with Jonathan Levitt if I can get a chance, and maybe some other people who are in there then, too. And so, there's a bunch of stuff going on. So, for the Magic Board Podcast, this is Scotty Allen. All right, Scott Wells here for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the general session here this morning, but also that we had some activities last night that we didn't talk about for the podcast that was released from day three, so I thought we'd kind of do a little bit of a recap with my friend and yours, Mr. Master Payne. Hey, Master MP, how's it going?
I've never been called MP before. I sound like a Spider-Man girlfriend, but nonetheless, not great. I'm having a great time. I think it's a good convention this year. I'm having a really, really good time doing innovative shows again, which I'm glad to see.
And you haven't been a presenter here this year either.
No, I haven't presented for, this will be my third year not presenting, but I also haven't submitted anything. So,
right.
But I have an idea for next year, so we'll see. Maybe I'll get on next year.
So last night I didn't really get to talk about the gimmick, Guess That Gimmick. Mm. But let's talk a little bit about that. What did you think of that show last night?
Oh, I liked it. I had about half of them, and it would have been neat if the Wi-Fi had worked for the entire thing, but I think it was on the third one that it gave up, and I'm going, no, I can't answer the questions anymore. But but at least it identified a couple of gimmicks that I had in my collection that I had no idea what they were.
Explain the concept, what was going on, and who was in it and everything then.
Oh, it was...
Jeff McBride was the host.
Jeff McBride was the host, and he had... Bruce Sinclair and Bruce Gold and Dana Daniels and
Danny Garcia
as the it's been a long convention and I'm fogging over, and so it was sort of like to tell the truth, and they would wait don't tell me, where they would make up answers to what the
right.
thing was. So
right.
one was telling the truth and two
it was
weren't.
Like, wait, don't tell me.
Yeah,
exactly,
it is like
what,
yeah, it is wait don't tell me. So yeah, two of them are lying and one of them is telling the truth, and then you had to vote on which one you thought, and you were supposed to use your smartphone, which was a good idea initially, but like I said, I think on the third answer, it just dropped off.
Horrible.
Yeah, you could see, because the first wheels was like, no, 47 people thought, 82 people thought, 29 people thought, and then it was 3 people thought, 2 people thought, 4 people. Oh, well, somehow they're still getting the Wi-Fi. How are they doing that? But no, it was entertaining, and he had some really unusual and interesting gimmicks, and he's going to have them upstairs later this afternoon more out of his rather immense collection of
I know that
gimmicks.
Jeff's got a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah. Had to build a whole wing in his house for his library's bigger than the Magic Castle library, and it's a pretty impressive thing to see, and it's like a magic shop library combined together.
Well, yesterday also that we had a little bit of a museum. It was for
Japanese name, but ambiguous artifacts, which I've always been a huge fan of, that they look like one thing one way and another thing the other way. And
there's a mirror behind it.
Yeah, or you just turn them and they just completely morph into something completely different, and they're just intriguing because it's real magic. It's just like, oh, that thing, you just watch.
Illusion right
it
there,
is.
Yeah.
It is perfect. I had hoped that he was, because he has other ones where like. Things roll uphill and do impossible,
right.
But you're saying that you only can see them on video or with one eye, and I'm going, I only have one eye. I only have one working eye. This would be my opportunity to finally see these things and see if they actually work that good. But he didn't have any of those, but you can see them on YouTube, and they're just fascinating.
Well, in fact, that for those of you who are listening, and we've talked about this gentleman in the last couple of days, that I did post that. If you go to themagicwordpodcast.com for the day three, there is a video link there, or actually a video you can watch right on the blog, as well as the photos that I've taken from the museum, there that you can kind of see exactly what we're talking about. It was phenomenal. Now, is Jeff going to be using that same room, or is that going to continue?
I think he's in the same room that he was in. Yeah, okay. It's the exhibition. space.
Yeah.
So that, and since it's much smaller than it was in previous years, because that's one year they had like the magic artifacts.
And, right. And then Copperfield and everybody.
Yeah, else. And then Henning stuff, and then last year it was Kona Pick's gallery of all the pictures. So. But I think it's because of the new configuration to the stages that have cut that room off, so that the other room was very.
What did you think of the close-up show?
It was good. I'm not a huge fan of close-up. I but it was very very entertaining. I sort of tried to gloss over card tricks, but that's what everybody wants to see is card tricks. But they were good, and a lot of energy, which is always good. It's better.
Different perspective. That's interesting because you're the first person who's given it just an okay, because everyone else said it's been like on a scale of 1 to 10, it's been a 15. I mean, everybody was just saying, it's really outstanding.
Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of card tricks.
Not
to demean anybody.
We don't,
not everybody likes everything. I'm sure there's people that can't stand my stuff. Why 20 minutes to get a coin on a bottle? What were you thinking? I'm always sort of.
So, what has been impressed you? What have you liked so far?
Oh, I really love the backstage show.
The opening. Shoot a gala,
I love the concept of the backstage. And it's again something innovative and something not just a standard magic show of magician. It was all kind of worked together into a theme, into a little story.
It's a beautiful idea.
It's a great idea. And I've missed that. They've kind of gotten away from that. I mean, the first year I was here, they had the cutting in half show, which was just incredible because it was nothing but the cutting in half illusion done over and over and Kay's me explaining the history starting with and it was just a. I'm going, this is a brilliant show. This is absolutely brilliant.
Right.
And so.
So what about this morning's general session? How'd you like that?
Good.
It was hosted by Dan Harlan.
Yeah, Dan Harlan.
Talking about inventions, basically. It was kind
inventions
of the theme
and creativity. Mm-hmm. And it sort of triggered I'm sort of sitting here going, maybe I need to do one next year because they're scaring people to death. You need to have these Venn diagrams. And according to Aristotle, you must have this. No, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. No, don't scare people with creativity kits and all this stuff. But again, creativity works differently for everybody.
I'm saying this is an overarching theme.
Over the past few years, it's kind of been the underlying theme, which it should be.
For this convention, it started right out with the first guy.
Been really the focus of this convention, but the previous conventions, you can kind of see it building to this, and again, maybe a little too much information at the same time.
But also, how far people would go? I mean, the Topaz was explaining this thing with the hydraulics. Oh my gosh!
Well, but that's Teller's. That's Teller's explanation of that. People just don't think magicians would go to that much trouble.
Yeah.
And that's why you're able to fool people with it because you're going, no, he'd never build a table like that. It would do that. I mean, why? And of course, just the sheer expense of building a table like that, and then of course the fact that these days 99% of the magicians can't build anything.
Right.
I mean, that was the thing when the Wizard Wars were out. And now the magicians will go into the workshop and do what? Look at the tools. And now they've come back. Now they have. They have all their fingers. They would have gotten the first one chopped off in the chop saw.
Yeah.
And I'm going, because it's one of the frustrations. Is I build a lot of my own props. Uh-huh. I do medieval and Renaissance fair. You can't buy medieval and Renaissance fair equipment.
Sure, exactly. Right.
And all theme shows and stuff. So I built my own stuff. And I always get asked, can you build me one? I go, no. Well, why not? Because then there'd be two. I don't want there to be two of these. I want this for myself. And I have other friends who are magic builders, and they just get out of the business because they're tired of, a screw fell out. What do I do? Put it back in. Yeah. Well, how do I do? Buy a screwdriver. It's the simplest things.
Right,
and I'm
going,
I remember when Magic Magazine used to have, plans in the backs for
building
things.
The Osborne.
Even earlier, from the 40s and 30s and things. So they would show things that you would were sort of expected to go home. And you could actually build these things because, again, there weren't, magic shops everywhere. Like if you lived in the Midwest, in the on a farm, you didn't have access to that. And,
that's right.
And
we got away from building and using our hands a lot. Except for texting.
Yeah, yeah. and that's a problem because they've done research that certain portions of your brain develop, and if you don't do mechanical things, you're not forming portions of your brain correctly.
Your synapses are not
connected to things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going, that's not good. Yeah, so.
So what's been, as we start to close here, what has been the highlight for you so far from what you've seen?
Oh, geez, that's always hard to say.
Yeah.
I like the fact that the dealer's room is much bigger without that more vendors, but there's actually space to walk around instead of being like, you know, previously you were like, you know, in a subway train.
But do you think that decreases the vibe? In other words, when it's kind of tight like that, you feel, oh, there's something going on. It's a lot of fun.
No. Especially since this year they gave out backpacks. So okay. Everybody's walking around and realizing, now you're wider than you used to be.
That's true.
not backpacks. Yeah. I just think the energy level is back up. I don't know. It might have just been me, but I know the last couple years, I know last year I was walking around going, this is almost just like a regular Magic convention. You know, I'm kind of disappointed, but now I think the energy is back, and I think they're back on track.
Yeah, great. So. Well, I'm going to be heading to the dealer's room then right now, so Master
Wayne,
thanks very much.
Only got an hour.
That's right. They're going to be shutting her down.
Okay,
thanks very much
for the
Magic Word podcast. That was Master Payne. Scotty out. All right, well, we're in the dealer's room then right now, and a lot of people we're going to be running into. It's, again, the last day, and somebody I've been wanting to talk to is David Diebel. Hey there, David.
Hi, how are you, Scott?
Fantastic. Good to talk with you again. You know, if you go back to the podcast, I'm recommending to listeners to listen to the time we actually had a much longer conversation and to learn more about you, but I'm so glad to see you again.
Likewise. I remember it was an enjoyable conversation.
I hope that you had people that have said they've enjoyed the conversation then as well in that podcast. So tell me, what do you think about this convention, this kind of wrapping it up today? What's been a highlight for you?
Oh, well, so many. We've been having a great time. It's a family trip this year, so during the day I haven't seen much in the way of magic, but in the evenings we've been having a fantastic time. Go to the shows, and I think the dealer room is probably the highlight for me, where we are right now, and just watching my kids enjoy magic and discover things has been very fun.
What about that, Luke? What have you? This is his son right now. Hey there.
Hi.
Say hello. You mind if I talk with him?
Absolutely.
So what have you enjoyed? What did you buy here?
I bought cards, mini cards.
Yeah.
Decks of cards and magic tricks.
That sounds cool. So you're going to be studying doing some cards. You like card tricks?
Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 10.
10, all right. Well, see, you got another 60 years to really grow and to get to be my age. Whatever. Well, good luck with that. So you enjoying the convention?
Yeah. It's fun.
What's been a highlight for you?
Watching others doing magic tricks, like demos.
So you like the dealer's room also? As long as you've got your dad's pocketbook, I guess you're fine.
Your mom's in charge of that.
Yeah. So been following you a little bit then on Instagram. Looks like you've been doing a lot of traveling here.
I've been doing a lot of traveling. It's been a working holiday this summer all around Phoenix, San Antonio, L.A., Vegas. So working about every third or fourth night, and in between trying to do as much family stuff as possible.
Of course, that's great. Well, I'm glad to see that you got your whole family over here then as well then. So good seeing you, David. I know you're on your way out as well. You got a cinnamon roll that hasn't been finished then yet.
Yeah, everyone's been very generous. They're throwing food at us. It's unbelievable.
How nice. Well, you need to bulk up, it looks like. You know, you can use a little bit of weight.
I know. Thank you.
I can give you some of mine.
Yeah, I'll just head to the gym right now.
All right. I always see, a lot of times I see pictures of you, like you're jogging, you're out for a walk, or so always working out.
Yeah, I enjoy fitness. I'm a little injured right now, so I'm just trying to watch what I eat, and, besides, it's so hot out here, I go to the gym, I don't have much desire to go outside and run.
Well, get well.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Magic Word Podcast. I'm David Eagle. Scotty out.
Welcome to the Magic Word Podcast with Scott Wells, and he's here right now with David Penn from the Wizard Product Review. There you go, Scott.
So how have I been enjoying the convention?
You were out way too late last night.
I was. Maybe a few extra martinis. What I was going to say is that we're in the dealer's room then right now, and I'm here because of a video that you had posted kind of showing this, and it was a nice little kind of a walkthrough. So for people who haven't had a chance to come to the convention or to walk through this, you need to go and check this out. I'll have this eventually posted on this blog for the magicwordpodcast.com for day 4. But not right away until you get this actually put over on YouTube and I can link it.
Yeah, it's on Facebook at the moment, but we'll make sure we get it on YouTube so you guys can link to it.
So you were just here for a few days and then heading back to the UK? Or?
No, I was here like a whole week before the convention. Yeah. I got here like on the Monday night. I've seen loads of shows. Nathan Burton, Piff was my favorite of the week. Because I'd not seen that show before. I enjoyed John's show so much. It was great fun. I'll be honest, you know, I'm a straight talker. I didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
We've known John for a long time.
I've known John for years. We used to do gigs together. But when you see him do a short spot on the likes of AGT, it didn't translate as well as seeing a full evening show with his partner, the showgirl. Just the character, how it developed over that hour and 15 minutes. And it was such great fun and really unique and strong bits of magic, really strong original magic as well.
So you're obviously recommending when you're in Vegas.
Absolutely.
You go see the show.
So I think a lot of guys, we come back, we see the same shows again and again. I love Chris Angel's show. I love it. It is my favorite magic show. I see it every single time I'm in town. But to come back, see the likes of Mike Hammer, who is amazing,
right,
and Piff especially, I thought was absolutely fantastic.
I know you're a straight shooter, and I appreciate it because that the video or vlogs that you do regularly, is it World's Magic?
It's the Wizard Product Review. We've been doing it for 9 years now.
Right.
Me and my dog are the regular hosts, but we've had a few different hosts co-hosting with me over the years. Sean Hayden and Wayne Fox kind of alternate, or sometimes we do it all together at the moment. And we started years ago with Craig Petty and myself, and that's when it really, really took off. And
that's what I remember way back.
In the early days, we were getting something like 30,000 views an episode, which is incredible.
Yeah, and it used to have like a spinning wheel or something, you know.
Some
funny things.
Yeah, like people would interact and we'd have giveaways. But, you know, we kept that for a year and then you're changing it. We're always trying to evolve. I'm not sure where the next thing is. This year, perhaps regular viewers of the Wizard Product Review probably noticed, probably influenced by a friend of mine, Jamie Dawes. He used to do the Magic Friday thing.
Sure.
And what I always used to love about Jamie's blog was he would take one product and he would actually go out and try it, and you would see the video. And Jamie stopped doing that, and I spoke to him about it, about how good that was. And something that I try to do now, so the Wizard Product Review kind of evolves, is if I really like something, I will go and affirm that and go and actually try it, and then we'll try and get some 360 footage and actually use that on the show.
Right, right. I think that's important, and you know, whenever I do my reviews that Murphy's Magic has sent me, it's not just something that I'm going to say, you know, right out of the box or whatever. I do like to try it. You got to go and work it to find out what's going to be good or bad with it. And I think that you do have to be honest with the reviews because people are coming to trust your judgment.
Absolutely.
And that's, again, what I appreciate, you know, being a straight shooter about that. The same thing with me. You know, there's some things like good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I'm going to tell you exactly what my opinion is. However, that I may like something that you don't like and vice versa. Just because of the style or the type of trick, I may not like one type of... I mean, I don't do a lot of kids shows, so I, you know...
And that's another great thing, you know... Sean is a great card magician, for example. Okay. He loves card magic. He loves doing sleight of hand with cards. He does a completely different style of performance to me. Wayne is different yet again. And then I like sort of tech magic and visual magic and try and stay away from cards, actually, as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So we've got different styles on the show, and it's nice that you get different opinions.
So are you going to be heading back shortly, or are you going to be
going back tomorrow?
Oh, you are Thursday tomorrow, after the convention's over. So what have you liked so far? What did you enjoy? What's been a highlight?
Okay, I'll be honest. I think the dealer hall has been a little thin this year. I've not seen too many new releases that have really caught my attention. I like Socks on Vanishing Ink stand.
Right.
It's a really fun effect.
Is that the Dan Harlan thing?
I don't think it's Dan Harlan's. Okay. No, it's basically you've got two packets of cards and you go through them randomly and they don't match. Not two packets, and you're dealing the packets face up simultaneously. The spectator says stop, and where they stop, the two socks, you kind of expect them to match. It's a bit like Split Decision years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And you've got that sort of magician in trouble kind of thing. And then you reveal that you're actually wearing the socks. So it's kind of quirky, but I like that. I dress in this similar style to how the socks look as well. And then at the end, as a kicker, the packet actually writes itself, and you go through, and all the socks actually then go into a perfect pair with the packets.
I see.
So it's kind of multi-layered. You've got the prediction, and then all the packets sort out. I think if I had to pick one highlight of the convention, and testimony to that is the crowds that he's had all the time, is Jonathan Levitt's Stranger app.
Yeah.
I can't wait. He's just told me that he's got an update, so it's going to be formatted for international numbers as well.
Right.
I'm waiting for that update desperately. I'm watching him do it on the stand. I'm watching the reaction from magicians. I've seen the footage from live performances. When you get that person on the screen and they have to FaceTime you.
Right.
And they're interacting with the audience there. It is amazing that you can get this level of energy into a performance from an app.
Yeah, that is great. And what I'm looking forward to is him having this in an Android. And he said that is in the works right now. He said
it is
not just a concept. He said we'll be talking to him here shortly and more about that then as well. Going back to Sox for just a minute, the reason I mentioned about Dan Harlan, because this morning's session that you were in the general session, that he was doing a thing that was an update from 20th Century Silks, in which he had Sox that were pinned together, put into just a bag, just a brown paper sack, and then one sock disappeared and obviously was pinned between the other two socks, which is a great premise.
It's fantastic, and Dan is a great inventor. Same thing, the Professor's Nightmare routine that he was doing, where
that was his original idea.
Visually changing, they just look fantastic.
Yeah,
and I use it's on my Facebook page, and it is public if anybody wants to look at it. I put up a version of Dan Harlan's Starkle as a video, and I think Dan was very complimentary. I think I created my own method for the vanish of the ball of paper.
Right.
Well,
you have to show me the vanishing of the ball of paper. You know, the routine for Starkle of Starlight, Star Bright is my pattern.
There you go.
That, in fact, that he, on his DVD, gives credit to me saying Scott Wells is the one who had had
amazing. Amazing.
It's one of my favorite things also. When he first showed it to us at Fechter's at the 4F convention many years ago. So, that's a go-to. In fact, I showed that to Copperfield. I said, this is something, that when you have a child up, and it's just perfect. Many, many years ago.
It's
and he
so
never
strong.
Me up on that,
I've got Illusions in my show that cost $20,000, and that is the piece that I love performing the most. And I think if anybody goes to my David Penn Leading Magician Facebook page, Leading Magician and Illusionist on Facebook, look for the videos. I think it's just called The Star to not kind of give it the commercial name.
Yes, I can't look it up.
But look at the video, and you will see, if you're a performer, you can tell when another performer really loves doing one part of their show, and it's that piece for
me. That's a great thing also that I do impromptu when you're in a bar or wherever else. I mean, if you've got a napkin, it's a go-to kind of a thing, I would say. Well, those are good observations as to what's been really good, and we've seen a lot of things. Close-up. You were telling me last night about the close-up show. I want you to say that on record here, what you were saying.
Right, the close-up show... it was, first of all, it was Henry Evans that opened. Absolutely unbelievable. He got a standing ovation doing his improvisational card magic. If you've got his DVD set, Opening Doors, which I will thoroughly recommend to anybody that wants to get their head around what I witnessed in this close-up show. It's absolutely unbelievable. He got a standing ovation. Richard Sanders followed him, did a great commercial set of magic. I do not remember the name of the third participant in the show. Fantastic.
He was in this morning's general session.
I'm really... it's really offensive.
He's from Spain.
I do apologize that I do not remember this guy's name.
He was good.
Really great stuff with Rubik Cubes. And then at the end, it was Danny DeOrtiz. I'd queued for the show for an hour, so I was on the front row. I was lucky enough to be picked out and be one of his participants. He gave me the biggest ass-kicking I've ever had, and it was brilliant. And I think many people have come up and said that they enjoyed my reaction to it, but it was genuine. It was the best close-up show I've ever seen. If I left Magic Live now, it was worth the whole trip just for that 1 hour of entertainment. It
That's
was brilliant.
So many people are saying... when you're asking them on a scale of 1 to 10, everybody's saying a 10 or higher.
Yeah, well, I was asking people as they were coming out, because we were queuing to go in. We queued for an hour, and people were coming out. And I was saying, what are you going to give it? 8, 9, 10? Everybody was saying 10. Then somebody was saying 11, 11. And people were saying to me, 100%, 100%. It's a worker,
Yeah.
And when I went in, I could see why, that it was unanimous. Because when I came out, I'm walking past the crowd that's going in, and I'm saying the same thing. People are asking me, what's it like? And I'm just going, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, maybe that's just how they should have named the show.
Three standing ovations for a close-up show.
That was amazing.
Which is kind of unnatural to give standing ovations in close-up shows.
Right.
But it was like switching on a light. Not like a bitty standing ovation. It was like somebody flicks the switch and just everybody
like
got
a hot
up.
Seat. Everybody had a hot seat.
It was incredible.
Yeah, electric seat. Perfect.
It was something special.
Well, thank you, David, very much. I appreciate your
comments. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you do, Scott.
Oh, well.
You get me through many gym sessions. And I'm embarrassed to say I only discovered this podcast about 3 months ago. And thank you so much for everything you do.
You've got a lot in the archives. You can go back.
Thank you. I'm working my way through. Thank you.
And I have to say that I think you've got the best voice in, I was going to say not the world, but at least in magic. You know, I mean, I like your voice, of course, the accent and everything, but the authoritative way that you speak and everything is just, I like your voice. You have a very good natural radio voice kind of a thing, even though that you're...
Why, thank you.
Anyhow, thanks very much. I'm glad you like the podcast.
Thank
appreciate
you. Have a great
magic
convention.
Podcast, what's left of it. That's right. That was David Penn. Scotty out. All right, so we were just talking with David Penn a moment ago, and one of the things he was talking about is a highlight for him. He said, man, you got to go talk to Jonathan Levitt. I said, well, I have in the past separately, but not, you know, during the convention, because it looks like you haven't even had time to shave yet. Here I am with Jonathan Levitt. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey there, Scott. It's been exhausting and so much fun.
Yes. So it's been a great convention for you.
It's been great. Yeah. I'm having a ball. The energy here is great. I mean, I love Magic Live anyway.
Sure.
Last couple of years, I was hosting with Julie Yang.
Yes.
And so this year, to be working, or I should say here, yeah, in this capacity, it's been so much fun to be behind my own booth.
As a dealer.
As a
opposed
dealer.
As opposed to being on the stage and everything. So
exactly.
That was completely different. It went back to the way that it was before, where that they had different you know, hosts each day.
It was
as
great.
Opposed to the same as you had. So it's, but that was a nice, refreshing change the last couple of years with you and Julie, which has been great.
We had a good time.
Yep. So the vibe, how is the... speaking from a dealer standpoint, how's it been for you?
Oh, my God. So much energy. I have not stopped for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I've been doing demos here. Tad Nyland, Mad Tad, and myself have been doing demos behind the booth.
Yep.
And lots of crowds, big groups of people. Yes. So it's been so much fun.
Someone was telling me that you close your show, your stage show, with The Stranger.
Yeah. The Stranger, I'm going to be honest with you, it gets the biggest reaction I've ever gotten in my life as a magician.
Wow.
And
did you ever envision that whenever you were developing it?
No, I did not realize the extent to which this would go.
Mm-hmm.
But people are leaping to their feet at the end of this. And I've done this in different ways, in different scenarios, but between 2 minutes long to 11 minutes. I've done 11 minutes on stage with this thing without a deck of cards, and people are leaping to their feet. I'm having, it's the most fun I've ever had.
Wow, that's yeah, quite a testimony. Of course, you're the creator, but I know from other people who have been also saying things about this before I've even come over to the booth to talk to you about this. Now, some of you who are listeners might remember going back and listening to Jonathan Levitt when you were kind of in the production, because everyone was anxious. You kind of whetted their appetite, you know, for this, and then finally were able to release that and had a special price that you were releasing it for a little while. And you got a deal going on then right now.
Yeah, and I want to say, you were so wonderful to... I love being on your podcast anyway.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then we talked about that, the trick.
That was almost as an aside. I mean, that was...
It was. Yeah. It was, and I was so excited. I thought, oh, it's coming out soon. And then, you know, 10 months later, it's finally out. And but what happened in that time period was that it just got better and better and better. And I just kept making, you know, putting in refinements and really working it.
Yeah.
So I've worked this thing thousands of times on stage. So it took longer to come out, but I'm so happy that I waited.
And one of the new revisions, I understand you're going to be having, is going to be for international phone numbers.
Right. So right now, it'll work all over the world. I just did it in Tokyo, and it was unbelievable. We called, I walked up to two women on the street in Japan, in Tokyo. They didn't speak a lick of English. They called somebody in Tokyo. They had an entire conversation in Japanese. I didn't say a word. And the person on the other end of the call revealed the card, and they went nuts.
Wow.
So you can do it all over the world, but there are some caveats to the way it's presented a little bit in other regions, and those will be taken care of in an upcoming update.
And what's exciting me, obviously, is it's soon going to be, an Android.
And Android is in development as well, and it's very exciting for me, too.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
How many different variations or versions have you had, updates, I guess?
Well, updates are coming. So I've got an update coming out in a few days, which is a little maintenance update. Then I've got an update on the iPhone iOS 13.
Right.
And then we're working on this big update that's going to include
all of those new features we were talking about, plus some other stuff.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like it's been fantastic. And so the special pricing you've got right now is just running as far as Magic Live. So if you're not here, you're missing an opportunity.
Yeah, if you're anywhere in the world, you can get the Magic Live price, but yes, tonight it does go back up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And so for people, yeah, whenever they hear this, it's going to be too late for them to get that, unfortunately. But my point, I was wondering, that whenever the, you order that, then now, does the price, you get charged that the lower price now automatically, or do you have to put in a code?
No. Right now, the App Store is listed at that price, and then tonight, the App Store will raise the price.
Go back up. I see how that works. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just kind of curious just how the mechanics of that, working over there.
Absolutely.
Well, I know that you're starting to get a booth full of people over here again to demo that, and so I'm glad that it's doing so well for you. I'm really happy for you and excited that
thank
this
you,
is
my
just
friend.
What a wonderful effect as well.
Thank
the Stranger.
The Stranger, it's so much fun. You're a great friend, and I wish you nothing but the best. You're amazing. So thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me, one last thing to help promote this. Where would people go to see a video or get more information?
Go to the website, thestrangerapp.com. Thestrangerapp.com.
Got it. Very good. Jonathan, you're the best.
Thank you, my friend.
Good luck. We'll see you later. Okay. For the Magic Word Podcast, I was Jonathan Levitt. Scotty out. So, okay, we had to talk to Michael Chout here. Okay, we're back. Scott Wells again here. So we were just talking a little bit earlier with Michael.
Hi, Ella. It's Michael Chout. And I would like to point out, we're standing here with Alex Boyce, one of the young stars. Well, not even young anymore. Stars of New York in the Magic world. And 2 weeks ago we had, who was on that bill with you?
That's what we're talking about.
When you opened
Monday Night Magic,
and he killed it. Anyway, we had a star-studded lineup. He's in the worst position because he opens the show and he murdered. And that was the act that people walked away.
You got some doves. We were working with
doves.
That's
right. There was some birds.
So you got to be an opening act.
So it was good. Yeah, we have a lot of fun here.
Otherwise, the birds are very unhappy.
That's right. So I'm here with Alex Boyce, by the way. Alex, always good to see you.
Good to see you, Scott. Since Cuba.
That's right. It looks like I think that you're getting younger as I'm looking at you.
Uh-oh.
I mean,
I'll take it.
You look at Michael and me, with the crow's feet and gray hair and everything, and I think you're just getting younger.
I call Alex the James Dean of Monday Night Magic.
I can see that. That's good. With that hair, you got
it. Put it on the website.
You got the look. And so are you going to be continuing? You're working around the world? You're working mainly in the city?
I travel. Last week I was in, Milwaukee and New York performing, so it depends on the week. But based out of New York, live in Brooklyn, travel all over whenever duty calls.
How have you been liking the convention so far here at Magic
This
Live?
Is excellent. Guy Hollingworth is the greatest.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
How could they open the show with Guy? How could anyone follow that?
Then he emceed the show,
It was unbelievable.
He's so perfect.
It was one of the most beautiful moments in Magic I have seen in a long, long time.
That was a funny line. I thought what Sam said, I think I saw Guy Hollingworth today with his shirt untucked.
Yes.
But
it
he's always
so
dapper.
Guy Hollingworth was amazing. And then I spent two sessions in the close-up clinic. Paul Wilson was doing really fantastic cheap magic with ball and vase and color vision and taking it to another level based off of the Marlowe stuff. And Gary Plants has got some really cool scams. And then Eric Mead did an amazing session on Coins Across. That was fantastic.
I'm going to be seeing the sessions this afternoon. So
highly
recommend.
Highly recommended.
Okay.
Afternoon.
So you have the general session this afternoon that you'll be going
I'm very excited. I was completely fooled by the Hawaiian mystery, so I'm excited to hear the secrets.
I'm not going to spoil anything for you, although that I talked about this earlier on the podcast with someone else who, so the listeners will
so,
the,
so you know something before I do,
before you do,
listeners.
It's going to be exciting. It is amazing.
And I just want to take a quick moment on the podcast to do a shout out to the Tannins booth. Because I help out backstage at Tannins, and they worked really hard this year to create a whole ambiance. Mm-hmm. And I encourage all your listeners to look at pictures online or videos, because they took a whole dealer booth to another level.
They did. It's almost like they brought their shop from New York shop to Vegas.
That was the Adam's idea. So
really, it looks great. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Scott.
Always good to see you. It's Alex Boyce for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. All right, well, as we walk around through the room, one of the people who is Major helper to Stan Allen is Rory Johnson. Hey, Rory.
Hey, how are you today?
Fantastic. How are you today? Now this is the last day. You kind of get to relax a little bit?
Yeah, it's been a great convention. It's always fun to see old friends, and you just can't do better than this place once a year.
It seems amazing that I get a chance to talk with you for a minute, kind of walking around without you doing something. I mean, I'm sure you've been running around, because every time I've seen you, you and Stan have been going in different directions or together.
Normally you see me going past. Zoom. I'm on my way to do something or another.
Yep. What has been one of the most the largest challenges for this year's convention that might have been different from the past, or the same challenge you've had?
It's always a challenge to do it a little bit different, a little bit better. When we do a convention right immediately afterwards, we have a meeting. What could we do better next time?
Sure.
One of the challenges this year was, of course, we were expecting to have new rooms open at the Orleans. Yes. So they have a whole new section opening up, and we were hoping to have that ready. So we did not get it.
It looked like they were closed. I saw them.
They're closed. Nothing opened up. So then it became, okay, we're not going to have those rooms. That means, however, next year we have whole new areas and spaces to play with. So right now that's a little exciting for us to start dreaming up things to do there.
Is this dealer's room larger than I remember, or is this the same size we've had before?
It's the same size. It's just a new configuration this year.
Because in the past it was like a figure eight or something.
Yeah, we've tried all kinds of different configurations in here, big triangles.
Yeah.
And last year was very, very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was just sort of lines of booths, and that wasn't as much fun, so now we've changed it.
You know, at the beginning of each of the conventions, Stan always talks about here is kind of what the theme is for this year, and he wasn't clear. I think it was one of those things that we're supposed to figure it out, but now the pieces have come together. It seems to me that the theme for this has been invention, creativity, and putting together your own show.
Yes, and a lot about story this year.
Yes, a lot of story.
A lot of people have talked about story. There were some tremendous talks about, taking magic to the next level creativity-wise, theatrically speaking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just doing tricks to actually bring an emotional experience to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I've been hounding people for many, many, many years. It's sort of my platform, so I'm happy to see it this year.
And other people are finally starting to maybe embrace this after they kind of hear this.
I hope so.
Look at magic a different way as far as their performances.
I hope so. I thought Harrison III's talk could be life-changing or career-changing for many of these people watching it.
Many people were talking about that talk about how that he was giving you all the tools and how to do this, and then he said, and before we close, let me just say this whole thing. And then his story used every one of those points that he had brought together. It's like, and then it was an emotional kind of a tear-jerking.
It's fantastic, wasn't it?
Oh, that was the best talk.
Yeah, so I thought it was fantastic. And I told him, I said, I think you were life-changing. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. For some of these people.
Yeah.
I mean, if I hadn't already been there, I would be today.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact is, he's not a magician. I mean, from the standpoint that he's not in the magic world and doesn't have a lot of magic friends, he said.
He is a magician and a good one. He plays himself down, he is a good one.
Okay.
Anybody that gets three standing ovations in a single show is a good one. But
well,
he's a storyteller.
Yes, okay.
And that's the power of
which
story.
Which relates to the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me, I'm a storyteller. I've been telling people that for 10 years. And they go, what do? I'm a storyteller. I write movies. I write novels. I write plays. I write, write for the magazine for many, many years.
Right.
And we create stories.
Yeah. And I also like Mark Randall from Adobe, talking about creativity. I had a chance to sit down with him, and that's, in fact, for the people who are listening to this, that's going to be a special one-hour podcast coming up next week. Stan was able to secure a room for us. It was kind of quiet. We were able to sit down and actually chat. I was planning on just talking with him for like 5 or 10 minutes, like with you, for just a little content on the day, and then I just let him talk, and he really has gave some inside stuff and some things, because he'll never be at another convention. He was doing Stan a favor for coming here, I guess.
No, he's not a magic convention kind of guy, but he is, he plays with the big boys.
That's right. Roy, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
It's very valuable, and I appreciate you taking a moment here.
All right.
So the Magic Word Podcast.
Have fun at
Magic Roy Live. Johnson. Okay. Scotty out. For the MagicWordPodcast.com, this is Scott Wells. I got Jody Barron with me, a longtime friend and cruise ship guy. I don't know. Hey, Jerry. Oh, Jody, first of all, how you doing?
My goodness, Scott, it's been years since we've seen each other.
And here we are, and of all places, I'm meeting you in a bar.
What a surprise.
We happen to both be in a
what bar. What a surprise.
Kind of a bar. We're here at the Crawfish Bar, still at the Orleans Hotel. And today's your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. 61 years on this God's earth.
That's great. And you still working cruises at all? Still,
I don't.
When's the last time that you kind of...
My last cruise was the year 2000 for Silver Seas. My Kathleen,
I did Silver Seas.
My Kathleen and I did. I worked a lot of tubs to get on that ship.
Yeah.
And we did the Millennium, and that was the last cruise that we did. And
that was a Crystal.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Pretty.
And then we moved to Maui, Hawaii, and there we stayed for 16 and a half years.
Yeah.
Raised my kids, put them through high school, college, grade school.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Which island?
I worked in Maui, Hawaii for the only privately owned hotel in the state of Hawaii, run by a man named Sir Run Run Shaw. And Sir Run Run Shaw was the man who made Bruce Lee famous and started the Charlie Chan movies in the 1940s.
Wow.
Did Kill Bill.
Still around?
He just passed away about a year ago.
Okay.
And at the time that he passed away at 109, he was still running 3 days a week. He was still running 3 miles a day, 5 days a week.
Wow.
So quite an amazing man.
So, convention, you're here. I haven't seen you at a Magical Life since I can't remember when.
Well, sir, we come to these, but we hide in little corners. We hide in little corners.
Yeah.
It's the most amazing convention. 1,400 people who are all in the business of making people believe and make believe.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful job we all have.
We do. And that's why I think what the theme of this has been is make-believe and storytelling. Have you kind of gotten that idea of what they've been,
yes,
speakers,
sir,
and everything?
Yes, sir. Unquestionably. I was fortunate to have great teachers.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 5 or 6 years old, Jay Marshall and Francis had ingratiated me into their little group.
Yeah.
My friend Jim Steinmeier I've known since before he was a teenager, and I think I was 7 or 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
Unquestionably, magic is a narrative.
Yeah.
Magic is a story. It's not about the magic tricks. It's about how you make people feel. Jay Marshall used to say that singers had an emotional attachment that magicians could never have. And yet recently I've seen David Copperfield and a dozen others who can emotionally move people from one place to another because they're being transparent. It's not so much about the magic tricks anymore. The magic tricks are nothing more than a tool to tell the story of their life, just like you and me, we all have.
Yeah.
And then speaking of that, I so much love your podcasts.
Thank you.
I've lived on an island being surrounded by sharks. And may I assure you, sir, I'm more comfortable with sharks than magicians. And with that said, I lived vicariously through listening to the wonderful interviews that you have done with some of the greatest magicians in the world. And for that, I'm eternally grateful.
Wow. Well, thank you very much. That makes me feel really good. And it's not like just recently you stumbled on it. It's been a few years you've been listening.
Oh, my goodness. I believe you have over 200. How many do you have altogether?
This one I'm posting will be number 510.
That's what I thought. But I've listened to so many of them on planes, on trains, and in my automobile. I listen to them.
Yeah.
I think there's so much to learn from other people.
Yeah.
I think that we as magicians live a very secluded life. Perhaps we spend too much time in front of a mirror by ourselves.
Well, this is an historical archive, certainly, that I'm building, so people can go back and then listen to other conventions that have happened in years past and see who was there, you know, what kind of tricks they did, and hear people talk about that. And I just think that it will live digitally. You know, I was talking to Bill Kalush, who does the Conjurer's Art Center, about somehow or another digitizing these or perhaps transcribing them, you know, because I don't know what the next thing's going to be after. I mean, there was videotape and then DVDs and then digital downloads and streaming, and the same thing like with audio. I don't know what's going to be after podcast, but something's going to have to be able
Absolutely.
To retain this, you know.
Absolutely.
So hopefully that this will, you know, 20 years, I don't know what's going to be, but I hope that, you know, that these words will live on, as you're saying.
You know? Scott, you remember the days when we were kids, when we would go to a magic convention and see a lecture.
Yeah.
Now we can watch the greatest magicians online and be able to access their knowledge, their academia, their libraries. It's an amazing time in magic.
Yes.
And for anyone to say that magic is good or bad, it's all in a matter of perspective. It's the ability to be able to adapt.
That's a good point. You know, like with this convention, that I think the close-up was awesome. And I was just talking to Master Payne. There he is, just walking by. And he was saying, it was okay. You know, but he's not a card guy.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, there's something a little bit for everyone. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, what maybe one person's cup of tea is someone else's soda. You know?
Yes, sir. But, you know,
it's all good. But
overall, magic has regenerated to a very new popularity. It becomes our responsibility At our age, we become the diplomats. Mm-hmm. It's the diplomacy that we now teach the next generation about what magic's right. really all about. Mm-hmm. Very little has to do with tricks. It has to do with a lifestyle and the appreciation of being able to have a gift right. that God gave us, whether we practiced or not.
Yeah.
It's a gift that God gave us. And I will be forever grateful for it. Yeah. I met people I never thought I'd meet.
And travel places we thought we probably didn't.
Sir, last week I told my kids I met three of the men who walked on the moon. And I said to her, in my lifetime, coming from Streamwood, Illinois, where our zip code was EIEIO, never in my lifetime did I imagine I would meet such people. If it wasn't for magic being a vehicle to get me out of Streamwood, Illinois, just like Houdini in Appleton, Wisconsin,
right.
you know, that greatest escape. Same holds true. What we do with our vehicle becomes our responsibility, and how we leave it to the next generation also becomes our responsibility. With that, I feel as I get older, this year, today my birthday, I feel an additional responsibility to share what I have learned so that the new generation can make new mistakes and not the same mistakes that we all made.
Good point. Well said. Well said. Are you still working with doves? It's kind of funny. We're sitting here, you know, talking about that because...
Do I still put poultry in my coat?
You know, I got James Damaris on my right over here and Bill Smith, the builder, over behind you. And so everybody... So, yeah, do you still put poultry in your jacket?
I have... Yes, sir. The answer is yes. We maintain a menagerie my daughters take care of.
Okay.
My daughter is now... my kids were brought up in the magic business. I made them do shows... from the time that they were in first grade through the graduation of high school.
Yep.
5 shows a day, 50 weeks a year. And my children are now 27 and 23, and I can see that they love this business. Is that James Damaris?
Yeah, James.
That is James Damaris.
Yeah. Hey, James.
I'm sorry, my voice is too loud.
No, I was going to ask you, since I got a couple of dove workers, it was just kind of interesting, you know, that we're here then as well. But you also were... Well, I've got you both talking about doves, just a second. What would be one of the most embarrassing things that had happened to you on stage with a dove?
Only one? Oh, God. Let's see.
Something that comes to mind whenever I say that.
Produce them and it lays an egg. And then because of that, you know it can't perch.
Yep.
So you can't really produce it. You got to kind of go, and hand it to the girl and go... Laying an egg.
Yeah.
Falling asleep.
Yes.
Same thing, knowing you're going to produce it. But, I'll tell you the most embarrassing thing, because he was there.
Okay.
Atlantic City Showboat, opening of the Showboat. Brand new thing, right? I'm doing the cape, and I do this whole little spin, and I got to get rid of the torn piece, let's say, because the cape blendo is like torn restored newspaper, as it were, right?
Yeah.
I miss. I never miss. He's in the audience, and it's there. Now, he kind of knows it's there, and I'm playing kick the cape to get it underneath it. So I'm dancing around and doing this. I'm going kick, remember, to get it off the wings.
I thought it was a flamenco number that was going to enter into the next section of the show.
That's funny. Right.
You were fantastic, and you've always been fantastic.
But that's embarrassing when it's like, you know, your compares, guy you're hanging out with is out in the audience, and you're not perfect, and it's like,
darn it, all the times.
And it's never happened again.
You don't believe the most embarrassing thing you've done in me was not putting a thing in your tailcoat, do you?
What thing? Yeah, that, yeah.
That's not the worst thing we've done in front of each other, is it?
I think so.
No.
Well, that can we talk about?
What comes to your mind?
You know what? Never in my lifetime did I imagine that James Damaris, who in my mind is without a doubt one of the greatest exponents of dove magic in our generation. Unquestionably. Sometimes friends, I come from Chicago, so I'm a firm believer that sometimes friends are better to be friends than enemies.
Right.
And in James's instance, we were able to find common ground.
Yeah.
And for that, I am so very grateful.
We have a colorful past.
We know too much about each other, and with age, we've become diplomatic.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that right, Mr. Damaris?
That's a nice way to put it.
Yes, sir.
That's a good way to put it.
But yeah, I'm sure like after this, I'm going to go, oh no, it was this. Oh no, it was that.
Sure.
But honestly, because when something happens on stage, I'll give you an example. Every time Stan sees me, he'll once in a while, and he hired me for something. And I said, oh, I'll knock it out of the park. He says, no, don't be perfect. And I went, what? He says, I don't watch you when you're perfect. When you're perfect, it's perfect. He says, I like to watch you screw up. And I go, why? He says, because your outs, especially if it happened before, your brain goes so fast. So brings in mind not the one before where I did my act to the different music, like the ship, we're doing one where we're appearing behind a picture frame and the sign changes, and I come out and I'm doing the split. Yeah. I'm getting ready to do the split, and the calmest bird I have decides to take off. Now, I know from experience, just producing a one bird on that moment, it's going to get no applause. The act before didn't clean the stage, and there was a rose on the stage. The bird takes off, and that moment I swoop down, I grab the rose, I spin it, I look at it, and I split the rose to a bird. Oh. The place went crazy.
Yeah.
Like it was planned.
It's supposed to be that way.
And then Stan came back. He went, see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't really have him, but you got to go with the flow.
I don't know if it was you or not, but I saw someone who had produced a bird and it looked like it died. It just fell on the floor, you know, mm-hmm. and the guy picked it up and kind of, you know, shook it up and down, let his wings kind of, and I could tell it, this wasn't going to be revived, and then quickly handed it off to his assistant.
Wasn't me. I'm not saying birds haven't expired, because any magician who says a bird hasn't passed away because they're afraid, they think it's cruel. Look, these birds, they're very simple.
Yeah.
They're very simple. And you don't know, they can fall asleep and wake up and not know where they are, and yeah. they start doing the marimba. We talked about this
right, and the other thing. Right.
So it's like, as careful as you're going to be, as nice as you're going to be, and there was one time when the Germans, by their methods, if they did what I did or what they thought I did, with their methods that they knew, I was being cruel to the birds. So there was this whole thing. I came back. I had a friend at the USDA who always took care of stuff. He was a high mucky muck. I said, I got to stop doing this. He said, James, out of all the magicians I know, you're the best. If you ever have a bird that goes, I send it right off to them so they can check if it's a trichomonas or if it's an outbreak or something. He says, don't. He basically said, screw them. He says, you treat them like family. Don't let a bunch of people who don't know anything, who are trying to do what you do, take you down.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
It was
nice. So, yeah.
But, you know, when Stan likes to watch you when you're perfect and he wants to catch you, the answer is it's easy to be good when everything is working right.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's hard to be good when the gods are not working with you. And I think that's what they mean about James, because if you've been so used to seeing perfection, when they want to see him get out, he's an expert at it, because everything that could have possibly gone wrong has gone wrong, and he figured it out.
And just when you think it has. So, I've done the act for, what, 30 years by the time this time. I'm at Wizards, and it was synergy. It's my own fault. There was a little bit of crap on the curtain from, I guess, Amos was in or somebody. And it's okay, the birds, because he flies.
Lukovic,
and he didn't have time to, like, clean the curtain. So that night, I missed the last steal. But I've missed the beat in the music. So I spin around, I get it, I steal the bird out, now I've got it in the handkerchief, I haven't cut the music, and I go over and I look at the curtain, and I point out that there's crap there.
Yeah.
So I rub the silk against the curtain and let the bird drop out.
Oh, that's funny.
So it, right? And then I have him start to me, because that's the bird I'm going to toss.
Right, right.
So now it's like I'm scolding him and all that, but it's like, I don't know where I come up with this crap. It's just a survival of not to be bad, I don't know, or to let the audience know you screw up.
Well, I think it's kind of funny and serendipitous that we started with you, you know, for day number one of the convention, and now kind of starting to wrap up with day number four, you know, this as well. And in fact, that during the time we were chatting, I was saying if any of the listeners would like to have us talk longer, I did get a comment and someone saying, yes, we'd like to hear more from James. So, you know, go and record. So to answer that person who did make the comment, and all the rest of you who didn't write but were thinking the same thing, I did. You'll hear it later. That's in the can. It'll be down the road. So thank you very much.
Still not enough. I'll be at TOM, and if you're going there, you'll bug my brain again, right?
That's right. It's going to be, the Texas Association of Magicians coming up over Labor Day weekend. So if you can be over here in the United States, over in San Antonio.
Well, thank you for including me with Jody.
Well, we had a lot of fun,
Scott. That's right.
We had
a lot of years from the Magic Island when you were there. Yeah.
But you know what's cool is, and it's not about dollars or cents, it's to become, I don't know if you told him this story, but Hank Vermeiden was Fred Capps, his basically mentor,
right.
Gare Kopper, Richard Ross, and Jody's. When Hank Vermeiden takes you on as sort of a student, or I can help your act, or I can put you in the right direction, that's a huge honor.
Oh, yeah.
Huge honor. So it's like this man right here, he's got the goods.
What I don't know, Mr. DeMare knows. What we don't know, we're hoping you do.
No, what we don't know, Jimmy Hoffa knows.
I'm from Chicago. Okay.
So with that, we'll let you guys go. Thanks
Thank
a lot,
so
both
much.
Of you
Thank
guys.
You.
Happy birthday, Jody.
Thank you, sir.
Just Jody Barron and James Amir, Scotty out. All right, well, this last day's update is going to be a little longer than the previous ones, because everybody is about to go home and getting a chance to finally see some people that I haven't seen, because paths have been crossing different ways.
And one of them is Justin Flom. Hey there, Justin.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
It's been a good convention, don't you think?
Yeah, it's been good. I think it's better than last year. I think I like Stan a lot. And I've, as a Las Vegas local, I'm always going to come to Magic Live.
Yep, right.
It's just, it's like paying your dues.
What's been outstanding? What do you, what did you enjoy the most? Or what?
So I enjoyed the most the close-up show. I think that's what was best.
Yeah.
And the little big show was enjoyable. And then an extracurricular was Cyril did a lecture last night. Thoroughly enjoyed that. And I was amazed that he tipped a signature piece of his and Justin Willman's. So it's funny. I had actually just only a year ago offered to purchase it for a substantial amount of money from Justin Willman. He said, "Oh, I think I'm going to hang on to it for a little while more." And now it's available. So that's incredible. And
that's going to be actually available through Penguin
on a
download.
That's right. So looking forward to that. And he does a very good job teaching. And the money manipulation that he teaches is great. And so Danny D'Arteez is always wonderful to watch. And even if you've seen him before or learned the methods, it's fun. It's just a fun thing to see him work.
Right.
But, man, I think the most fun has just been seeing people, friends. The first night I got to hang out with Ossie Nguyen and...
I haven't seen Ossie here.
Yeah, he's walking around, and David Williamson.
Yeah.
And hanging with those two just for a brief amount of time, sessioning the first night, I think is probably the best thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what's been most enjoyable.
That's cool. Well, it's always good to get different people's perspective as to what that they really got out of it. And it was, and the one thing I am hearing over and over, it seems like, is a close-up show. And it was, starting with Henry Evans and ending with Danny D'Arteez.
Yeah,
and then you have great in-between guys.
Look, we're all magicians, and we all want to see tricks. So if there is anything to change for next year, I haven't sat through a whole session yet because I want to see tricks.
Yeah.
So the successful things that people are talking about are Little Big Show and Close-Up Show because there's lots of tricks. Danny D'Arteez's lecture was fantastic because he opened it with 30 minutes of tricks, and then he taught secrets. So I think anytime we get to see magic, that's what we like so much.
Good point.
And we've all got our own theory, but it's I'm more interested in seeing magic. So
right,
yeah.
Right. Interesting perspective. Well, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate
always, Scott. Always.
It's good
Thanks
to see
so
you.
Much.
And you're going to be coming to the TAOM. I mean, you were here a couple of years ago when we were in Frisco, just kind of in and out for the day.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I always try to make it around to a couple of conventions. Work always determines that.
Of course.
And I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow, let alone what I'm doing in a year. But I'll figure it out.
Well, I'm glad I got a moment to say hello. Good to
Thank
see you, as
Scott.
Always. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Justin Flom. Scotty Young. Hello, this is Scott Welch from the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're just after the museum has closed for the gimmicks of Jeff McBride that's going back to his house. And, of course, we just had the Guess the Gimmick contest last evening, and that was a lot of fun. I'm here now with the host of that, Mr. Jeff McBride. Hey, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Scott. The Guess the Gimmick game started a couple years ago. We have one of the largest gimmick collections of vintage antique magic gimmicks, and we put together a show like The Liars Club, where we had Dana Daniels, Danny Garcia, and Bruce Gold come on and give explanations. However, two of them were bluffing, and only one of them was telling the truth, and the audience had to guess who was telling the truth, and then we would demonstrate gimmicks that had not been seen in 50 to 100 to 200 years.
Wow, and you've been acquiring these things for over how long ago?
Well, a lot of people send them to the school as donations because we know that we're keeping these old gimmicks on display for future students and letting people know about the history of magic and how these gimmicks and all these ingenious devices can be updated for modern magical performances.
Do you ever use these in your performances?
Absolutely, but you'll never see them.
Well, of course, that's because they're supposed to be sorcerer sidearms that you don't see, like a thumb tip or things like that. What's the most unusual gimmick that you would say that you got?
Well, we have many different things, and it depends what you... what we did was educate people the difference between a gaffe, a gimmick, and a fake.
And you're about to tell us that right now.
A fake is something that the audience actually sees, like a fake egg that's been doctored or prepared for magic, or a rubber bottle. That would be a fake because the audience actually is looking at it. A gimmick, however, is something that's hidden in the hand and mostly flesh-colored or out of sight. And a gaff is a normal object that's been slightly modified that is seen, like a gaffed card might have a piece of elastic on it, or a coin might have a hook on it. That would be a gaff.
And do you receive some things that you have no idea what they're going to be?
And I have things in my collection that I am still looking for answers for. And usually it's the old-timers that know them.
Do you think that anybody's actually kind of jacked with you and just kind of wound a bunch of wire together and sent it to you and said, what is this?
No, okay, I couldn't really tell.
Okay. So the oldest thing you have in your collection is what?
Probably the oldest thing I have in my collection is from the early 1900s, although I do have some old apparatus, which doesn't count, because we're talking about small magic gimmicks around the turn of the century, the last century, the 1900s.
Has Copperfield acquired any of the things from your collection?
No, but I help him with his collection, his gimmick collection, and he's been over to the Mystery School and has been one of the few people to identify most every object in the collection. He really knows his magic.
And has he been wanting to acquire some of your things?
No, actually, unfortunately not.
Like, no, it's okay. I got everything I need right there.
Absolutely.
With everything. And so you're still acquiring things, and so if people want to donate something to your school.
Well, that's always, and you can always reach me at on my Facebook page or jeff@mcbridemagic.com.
Now, you said you've been working on this for like about 2 years.
Well, on this game show, yes.
Yeah.
We couldn't fit it into the schedule of Magic Live last year, but we're always doing different things. Last year at Magic Live, I did Ask the Show Doctor, which is based on all of the problems that face magicians and practical applications.
That's a great series, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. And this year, that was 2 years ago, and this year we wanted to do something extraordinarily different and fun with the audience, and also expose them and educate them to this incredibly rich history of these ingenious devices that have been almost totally forgotten by modern magicians.
You know, I guess the gimmick kind of reminds me of Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR.
Yeah, it's kind of like Liar's Club.
Exactly. How many things approximately do you think, or do you know exactly how many do you have?
I have no idea.
Hundreds?
Probably 1,000.
Wow, okay. That sounds interesting.
Yep. And that's just the gimmicks. That's not the apparatus and the other things.
Right.
And the books are kind of outnumbering, even grains of sand on the desert behind our house.
So if people want to come and see that, is that actually available that you can say?
Any student that comes to the Magic and Mystery School is they can tour the collection. Any student that wants to come to the Mystery School, we have scholarships available. We always believe that there should be magical education. Even if people have financial challenges, they can go to our magicalwisdom.com. There's a scholarship page. They can apply for a scholarship, and we do believe in giving people a leg up in the world, and we have many people that are very philanthropic in our magic community over the past 30 years that have been donating tens of thousands of dollars over the year to make sure that people young and old, because we teach students from very bright teens to people in their 80s, come to our school to pursue their love for magic.
And
we think it should be open for all them, and that's where we have our scholarship fund.
How many classes a year do you teach?
We teach, I teach every day online, and then we have a once-a-week broadcast called Mystery School Monday. I have weekly classes at the house, private classes. People come in for our master classes and other focus sessions. We usually have one group class a month.
And you do Skype lessons overseas?
Everywhere in the world. I have students in every time zone. But at every different skill level are on Skype with me, and that's one of the most effective ways to teach now. People send me videos, and I'd be able to give them creative feedback and input into their show via Skype.
So my big question is, when do you sleep?
Now. Good night.
Thanks very much for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Jeff McBride. Scotty out. Well, here we are, once again. The completion of Day 4 and the completion of Magic Live 2019. Another one in the history books. Number 10? Number 9? Number 9?
11.
11, okay, but who's counting? And so we're here then now, finally with the organizer who can take a breath, and he just took a deep sigh, Stan Allen. Hey, Stan.
Hey.
So glad. Congratulations. Another good job.
Thank
well
you.
Done here. And a lot of surprises that were all enjoyable, and a lot of, top things that everybody seemed to enjoy. I, heard positive things on the close-up, a couple of the speakers that were really outstanding, and some of the sessions, like with Harrison Greenbaum, and some of the things were just outstanding. So, great.
Well, people tell me it was a good one. I'm slurring my words already.
Just here. A little bit. That's okay.
Yes, no.
You should have a drink.
Tell me it was a good one. I think that our upstairs shows Mm-hmm. The shows where we built venues aimed at a certain kind of magic, where mm-hmm. we built that 130-seat close-up show or that 230-parlor show where every seat is good and there's no angles and you can put manipulation acts up very close to the people. Mm-hmm. I think those worked. I think our floor worked exceptionally well this year. And you know me, Scott. I don't like everything that we do, but I like a lot of the stuff we did.
Yeah. Well, each year I was talking to Rory about this, about how that you have your sessions close, you know, shortly after this is over to kind of decide, you know, what we do right and wrong, what we want to tweak next year. And each time you tweak it and getting better and better.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, the whole goal is better.
Yeah,
just,
of course.
Can we just do it a little bit better, a little bit better?
And Rory was saying also you were hoping to have some additional rooms that weren't quite ready this year.
It was an interesting year because what do you do? It's a 50,000-square-foot floor. They've mm-hmm. added 25,000 square feet. Do you plan on the 75 or do you plan on the 50? Well, we planned on both.
Yeah.
And so we drew it up two different ways. Mm-hmm. One is very tight, where a room that we had a party in that ended at 11 o'clock, the next day we had a theater built in there. So we pulled an all-nighter with the production company to build platforms and risers for 230 people and a stage with lights and everything, and it's built from midnight till 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's a professional team that comes. It's not just their volunteers.
Oh, it's a professional team with all the OSHA requirements and everything else.
Yeah. Right.
Because we're moving a lot of people through this place, and we have to be safe.
That's true. And you had, again, maxed out 1,600.
We maxed out at 1,600. And by the way, just to finish that thought, the new space, they said, is going to be done June 1st. Oh, wait, July 1st. Oh, wait, July 20th. And all along we're going, well, what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, the walls are coming down on August 1st. Well, we moved in on August 1st. Mm-hmm. And even though the walls were down, even though we could see the space, and it was beautiful space, it hadn't been occupancy permitted yet.
Okay.
And it won't be for another 10 days.
Which means next year it's going to be great.
Next year it's going to be great. So
we have
a much bigger sandbox next year to play with.
Okay. I thought that the rooms, the design was good. You know, last year I thought the what I call the close-up pit was really excellent, where you kind of had the rake looking down.
Tiny close-up theater, 62 seats.
Mm-hmm. But everybody, and it was a perfect seat for everyone.
We tried to make it a perfect seat for everyone. Yeah. I think we had to build two theaters. One had 63 seats, one had 61, I think is the way it worked out.
Yeah.
So.
And I like the thing that Jeff had put together, Jeff McBride, as far as the guest, the gimmick kind of a thing. I understand he said that's been a work in progress for a couple of years.
Yeah, we've talked about it a year or two ago, and then he wanted to do this game show. We didn't know what it was going to be, and then it started to evolve into Guess That Gimmick. Mm-hmm. And we visited Jeff's house, and he showed us all the things. Yeah, and he started pulling them out. So you know what that is? No. Do you know what that is? No. You know? And then we started screwing around, making up stories for what we thought it might be.
That's funny.
And out of that evolved, it's sort of a Liars Club, mm-hmm. I guess, that gimmick. And then tonight, Jeff was bringing out more gimmicks to show people, if you liked it, come on down. And that's what I liked. We had Kikuchi Sugihara, who, you know, designs these ambiguous objects that from one side look round, from another side look square mm-hmm. or something. And he was great to work with, where we could do a display and people could walk into a round and get pictures with them and make their head hurt.
I did take a lot of photos, by the way, so I encourage the listeners to go to themagicwordpodcast.com. Day number 3 is where I posted these pictures from that museum that you had with all of those things. You must have had about 20 of them in there or something.
I don't know exactly, 15 of them or something like that. But it was funny. We had to have mirrors built just right at the right angle so that you could see the one side and the other side at the same time, which
makes
your brain hurt. And it was kind of fun because we love surprises, and he talked all about them up there. Mm-hmm. And a number of people told me later, we were sitting in the audience saying, I'd love to have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we brought one for everybody in class, just like the teacher said. Did you have enough for everybody?
Yes,
we did have enough for everybody.
Yeah. That was a great surprise
to everybody. Yeah, so that, you know, everybody says, surprise, I don't want to be surprised. Really? You don't want to be surprised. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know. The magicians are worse about surprise. And here we are, the people that supply surprise for everybody else in the world. And we resist it in our own lives.
Yeah. Another thing, though, I thought was a great surprise, and I've never seen this concept before, when that was the backstage, front stage, kind of a strange and unusual stage show.
Yeah, it was Simon... Simon Cornell
mm-hmm.
and Shudagawa. Oh, I saw it about a year ago, and they were in the Peller. So I just went to see him in the Peller. Simon used to write for us, and, you know, I liked shooting. We liked these guys. And so I went and saw their show, and their show was partially backstage and partially in front stage. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, they asked me what I thought. And I said, I thought it was great fun, and I can't wait to see it in 6 months or in a year and see what you do with it and where you go with it, because it was just the seed of an idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they did it at FISM, and they said they were coming up to meet with me. So they came up, and I thought for sure they want to do it as a parlor show or something, because that's where I'd seen it.
Sure.
And they said, no, we want to do it as a stage show and introduce more acts and build it into a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's start talking. And so out of the collaboration with them came the Quick Change bit and the Beatboxer bit.
Yeah.
And basic premise for anybody who doesn't know is that you're seeing a show sometimes from backstage and sometimes from front stage, mm-hmm. and you have to stay up with where you're at on it and what's going on. And sometimes you just hear the show on the other side of the curtain, and you just see, like, the girl going through the curtain with a tube and coming back with a bunch of bouquet of flowers in a tube, or with a pan and a rabbit at the end of it. And yet we could fill in all the blanks. And we were just really hammering for a name. And Simon called up one day and said, what if we just call it the Very Strange Monday Night Show?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was the Very Strange.
And it was a mystery also, because they had mystery guests and, I guess, different people on each of the shows.
We did. We had a little cameo appearance, and Lance Burton did it one show, and Matt King did it another show, and Max Maven did it on the last show.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yes, Max did it on the last. The last one you would think would be in a cape and a top hat and going out there. But Max has been a very good sport about playing with us. We had him in a Boy Scout outfit. Now, it was all black with knee socks, but it was a Boy Scout outfit, and he was fantastic in it.
Yeah.
And
For those who don't understand what was happening, that while Simon and Shoot were, quote, backstage, but actually performing for us, that another act was going on the other side of the stage, supposedly, and that was known as the mystery man, the mystery magician.
Yeah.
You know, the man who goes without any introduction, here he is, you know, kind of a thing. And then, and so you hear this music and everything back there, and then you can't see the person because he's got on a top hat and a cloak, and so you just see the back of him. As they walk away, then each time they say, you know, say something, and then they take it off.
Sure, how'd it go? And the guy turns around, and it's Lance Burton.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the
and
concept
it was just sort of a punch to it. And
I do have to say also that as a result of how different that show was, you almost overlook the act that was in the middle over there. Well, first of all, the juggler, what's his name?
Mr. Ham.
Mr. Ham was phenomenal. Yeah. But the other guy that I cannot remember his name who did...
Reed Chang. Oh, no. Reed Chang. Major, major manipulation act. He does stuff.
I've never seen
stuff just vanishes in midair.
He had books that he was holding. I mean, it's not just cards.
Books vanish.
Wow.
I had never seen him live before. They showed me a video and said, this is the guy we want to get. And I said, whoa, yeah, let's try and get him. And as so often happens here at Magic Live, we always talk about how important the community is to us. Like, why is Magic Live successful? Well, part of it is the community. Mm-hmm. And when I say the community, I just don't mean the people that are buying registrations, you know, that are supporting us, which mm-hmm. we certainly appreciate. Mm-hmm. But there's also the presenters and performers that are willing to do things outside the box. Mm-hmm. Max, we need you to be in this thing, mm-hmm. or somebody else to do this thing. And they're willing to come here and do things that they don't normally do. Mm-hmm. And that's the second part of the community. And the third part is my own team, you know, that works sometimes year-round, sometimes just a few days. But it's that community of people that love Magic Live. I don't know why, but they do, and thank goodness. And what we're really trying to do here is make this the ultimate family reunion, where
it
you
is.
Come and you see everybody.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make the brand experimental, that you'll come here, and on Monday night, there will be a show that mm-hmm. you'll say, yep, I don't know what crazy thing they've come up with tonight, but you're in there prepared to see something crazy.
Right.
And then on the last night, we'll give you more traditional.
Right.
Tonight was much more traditional.
It was more traditional, and that was kind of interesting because that a couple of the people were from the winners from 2015.
Sure.
Three of them, I guess, from FISM winners.
We weren't looking for winners. We were just looking for the right balance of show.
Okay.
And when you start with people like Cyril Takayama, who he doesn't work magic conventions, and the clairvoyants, you don't see them at every magic convention in the world, and they're nice enough to come and play mm-hmm. with us.
Right.
And Henry Evans is a world-class.
And Cyril
world
working together and doing a stage act with cards with, what they have, they had 26 people up on stage.
26 people on stage.
And then we had a fire alarm.
Can we have 26 people on stage? Yeah, I guess. But you know what? A lot of people...
And the fire alarm went off.
Fire alarm goes off, of course. And I thought it was something we had done, but it wasn't. It was a false alarm somewhere else in the theater. And but also, you have to say, the people that contribute to this. Mm-hmm. For instance, we booked Guy Hollingworth very early on. I think his stage act is elegant. Well, Guy is just elegant. You know,
I think you had the funniest line of the convention about, I saw a guy today with his shirt untucked.
Yeah, because he was, hang on, everybody, he wasn't just shirt untucked. He was demonstrating how you can do it with a trick with an untucked shirt. But Guy is so elegant. And we had him booked, and we're going to put him on the stage show, but he has angles like a lot of manipulation acts do. And so we wanted to build a venue where he could be right down to the front. So it's like watching an act at the Magic Castle. Yeah, it's straight on. They can be right there. You know, you don't have to worry about angles. Mm-hmm. You get on the Orleans stage where there's, you know, 800 people and it's only 19 rows back. Those are really wide rows curve around the stage. Now you're playing upstage. Well, wait. The last person sitting here and 24 feet upstage is the act. And you go, well, that sucks. It's just not right. Mm-hmm. So he said, Guy, would you consider moving to the parlor? Here's the bad news. Instead of two shows, you have to do six shows. But Guy loves doing his act. He says, oh, that's even better.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I immediately thought.
It wasn't what you expected.
Could I have offered him less money to do six? What if you do 10? Yeah. Will you do it for free?
The same money.
And then when he found out the title, he sent me a little email. And he said, what do you think of this as the opening? And he told the Goldilocks story.
Yeah.
And then he recorded it. And that's our overture.
Oh, that was his voice.
It wasn't his voice. Oh. It was somebody else. But that was all his words. Mm-hmm. Everything was Guy. It was his idea. And we get credit for that. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, these people come up with ideas, you know. And then what we always try to do is take their idea and develop it and present it as best as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're succeeding. You know, that does very well. I mean, obviously, when you sell out, you know, year after year, you know, it just does... As you said, every year, the people like to come and see you walk the tightrope.
See if I make it to the other side.
That's right.
And what I'm learning is if we build the brand right, and if we explain to people where we're experimenting and why, and what we're trying to do. For instance, we built that parlor so that we could have angle-free acts and present those. We did the other show three times so that we could take the side seats out to make it more intimate. And if we explain to people what we're trying to do, this is an experimental show. Do you want to come and see something crazy?
Right.
You know, that people will accept, you know, unusual things from us and come here expecting the unexpected.
Right.
And I love it. And some people say to me, hey, I don't want to see you strike out. And you know what? That's fair. You're spending your money to come here. You're spending hotel money and flight money, and you're taking time away from your family or your job or whatever. Yeah. It's an investment to go to any magic convention. I get it. And it's a risk.
Yeah.
There's a risk involved.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be worth your money. And when somebody said, no, I don't want to see you strike out, somebody else told me, they said, well, here's the thing. If you don't want to be in the room when Magic Live strikes out, fair enough, you're not going to be in the room when Magic Live hits a home run.
Uh-huh.
And the deal is, we strike out sometimes, but we also hit a few home runs.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Exactly. And so I'm finding that the most of our brand, somebody will go online, Facebook, and say, well, that's the reason I will never go back. And somebody else says, that didn't work. But I've got 99 more reasons why I will.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I ask.
One last thing is, was the fellow who was the juggler, Paul Potts, was that his name?
Paul Ponce.
Ponce. Was that the same guy that I saw a few years ago here?
It was.
The hat juggling?
It was.
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, I wanted energy. And also, this was a crazy thing. Ted Kim needs to have a projector set up, and Ted was going to follow him. And so I had to have an act that could work out on a very small apron. And suddenly you say, Paul Ponce is in the audience with hats.
Yes.
So we brought a juggler on to be in the audience with hats, mainly so we could set this act, because I wanted all the acts downstage. Otherwise, they said he has to be behind a curtain. Well, now we've got him 25 feet behind the curtain.
So,
Paul Ponce had been here before, and it was great.
It was.
He's the best.
And it was funny because Spain,
he's working in Cancun right now, him and his family.
And it's funny that David Diebel, who's a juggler, then also.
David Diebel.
He was excellent, of course. He was a good comedian.
He's very funny.
Yeah, he was.
He's
I love the guy.
Very, very funny.
All around, and kudos. Good job. Thanks very much for putting on
a
great time.
Have you gotten a program yet?
I did. I just flipped through it, and that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a full-color program.
New idea. We're giving you a notebook to take notes in all week long, and then at the end, we're giving you a program.
It's not just a program. What is that, about 100 pages?
It's almost 100 pages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. But also, it'll be fun to see if people catch on. If you look at our notebook, it has like rough sketch notes on it in the front, and all of those notes are completed in the program.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah,
And then also we had the choice of either a backpack or a duffel bag.
New Forest this year. It's a little. We're playing with some branding of stuff and some souvenir items and stuff. So, every Magic Live is not just for that Magic Live. It's things that we're taking steps towards next time.
Sure. There are things that you're going to remember then, too.
Yeah, we're going to try.
So, all right. Well, it's
I have to go give away some prizes.
All right, so we do. Thanks very much. And so, for Magic Word Podcast.
You're not going to say that.
That was Stan Allen. This is Scotty.
Okay, I got to go now.